Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks to Roger for coming in. I always enjoy talking with Mr. Landry, and said we'll have him back in a couple weeks. It's my pleasure to have Doug Force and Wayne Peters in for the second hour here, and we were talking just before we went on the air, and I got two guys in here that really like to talk, so I don't think I'll be doing a lot of talking this hour. I'm going to let my guests kind of fill in for me, and I'm going to start the show off. I always like to start the show off with a pet peeve of the week. Welcome to the show, gentlemen, and thanks for coming in today. And your pet peeve, Wayne, you go first.
I'm going to let you get right into the shoot with this one, Barry. I told you that already. My pet peeve of the week is the Legion, this false fraud company that is a corporation that portrays itself as being a supporter of veterans, now doing a funding drive, asking for donations, while in the front of all of their doors is a stipulation saying that if you have not surrendered to this radical experimental injection, then you cannot come in. So the men that fought and gave their lives to stop this kind of insanity are now being treated as second-class citizens by the organization that professes to support them while they are pillaging money out of the community. That is my pet peeve of the week in front of Remembrance Day. What do you think of that?
Nope. It infuriates me, Wayne, to say the least. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty down low of them to do something like that, I tell you. You know, and then they put their hands out looking for donations. Excuse me?
How dare they?
Exactly. My father and my stepfather both fought in the Second World War. I think they burned down their legions if that happened.
Yeah, it is pretty pathetic. I was talking to other people about this week, and they feel the same way about this whole issue with the Legion. They're no more than a corporatistity right now, another arm of the government. And it's sad to see, especially the veterans that gave their lives for what we're trying to preserve now in Canada are rolling in their graves right now over what's going on in this country. It has really kind of got out of control here in the last little while, but I know there's lots of pushback coming from lots of different fronts. Why don't you talk about a few of the things you've been doing here lately, Wayne and Doug, to push back? Because hey, I know you guys are involved in a lot of things. Go ahead.
Do I have my pet peeve first?
Okay, your pet peeve. Sorry, I forgot there, Doug. Excuse me. I'll go to my corner right now. I just gave myself a slap. Okay, go ahead.
Well, my pet peeve is the union pensions. And Wayne was good enough to have from the Ontario Teachers Union people. They sent him a mandamus. And the reason that the unions don't seem to be backing their membership is their pensions are fully invested in, guess what? Big pharma, big tech. And big banking. And so, you know, the people that run the pension funds invested the pension money into big pharma and et cetera, et cetera. And they get these nice big fat bonus checks. Okay. So it behooves them to work against their membership and force them into vaccinations, because then their bonuses go up because the stock prices go up and et cetera, for big pharma, big tech, and so forth. And lo and behold, you know, they're forcing the teachers now to be vaccinated. Now they're also pushing for the school, the children, to be vaccinated. Yeah. So it doesn't surprise me if they've got, if they've got a dog in the fight, which is, guess what, investment in big pharma, big tech, and big banking. Of course, they're going to go against their membership. That's my big pet peeve.
And that's a very, very legitimate pet peeve, but it's like the fox watching the hen house in steroids. What do you think? What do you think about this vaccine mandate and how it's being pushed in Canada right now, Wayne?
Well, I think that they've pushed too far and then some. This has gone so far beyond reason and reasonability that even the people that try their best to toe the line to be politically reliable can no longer stand in facing what is coming on to Canada throughout all of this. And people are tired. They are now into the doldrums of war, and they are realizing that they just don't have the energy for the garbage anymore. And as this progresses, there is so much light being shone on the pure evil of what is going on. Because, I mean, at this point in the game, there is I find it hard to give anybody the benefit of the doubt and say that you are just naive and innocent. I don't believe that that actually truly exists anymore. People are either read in or accomplice to. They might not have been willing accomplices in the beginning. There was a lot of useful idiots. But at this point, nobody, I believe, can absolutely claim ignorance. And as this progresses, this weariness of war, people are getting to the heart of matters and getting away from the semantical, myopic silliness of things. And they're looking at what is really happening. And this is where – To segue into something with meat and potatoes, what Doug's pet peeve of the week? That's a big one. I mean, my pet peeve is infuriating as it is, and as emotionally disturbing as it is, it's still just an emotional reaction to what is going on. But what he brought up with the teachers union and the documents that I received, this is something that has meat and teeth to it. And as part of what Doug and I have been working so diligently on the last month is educating people and teaching them and showing them how to get answers, where real answers are. And this is the result of some of that, not saying that we had anything to do with this group that dug up this information, but we are working with many, many groups that are digging up this exact same information. And now in a group, like the Toronto Teachers Association, this mandamus is for $221 billion, with a B, billion dollars in pension money that I am sure that there are 126,000 teachers in Ontario that have no idea that the system is profiting off of their torture, the abuse that they are enduring, the abuse on the kids in their classrooms, in their schools, is all done for profit for the unions. And I've got it here right in front of me. Just as an example, what the teachers' unions' pensions are invested in, 3M, the guys that make the masks that they're forcing on the kids, $83 million. Johnson & Johnson, they're into them for $84 million. Wow. It's just absolutely ludicrous. And then, it gets even worse. Microsoft, millions of dollars. Blackstone Group, $500,000. Costco, all of the companies that seem to be exempt from this abuse are exempt because the unions are profiteering from them.
Wow. You'll never hear that on CBC, will you?
No, you won't see that on CBC. And the teachers are saying, no, get out of it. Divest those investments. Get out of it. So this will be an interesting story to follow to see whether the union does what the union representatives want, or whether they're going to continue with the genocide for profit.
Well, what's going to be even more interesting, Barry, is that if other unions now pick up the mantle and run with it and start asking their pension funds, where is your money going? Because you're certainly not supporting us with these illegal and unlawful mandates. as a matter of fact, you acquiesce to the employer against the employee. Oh, well, you have a grievance thing to go through. And we've seen this from the Teamsters. They said, yeah, you have a grievance thing to go to, and we might get to it in 2 years, but it'll probably be denied anyways. So, I mean, it's your process. But so how is that going to work? Oh, if it takes 2 years for me to grieve and I have to have a jab on the 1st of November – the hell is the point of doing a grievance? Why aren't you standing for our membership? Why are you acquiescing? And this is the door that opened. These teachers went to their union. They said, where are you putting our pension money? That's the membership's money. You need to understand, these people have paid into this pension fund. But the people that run the pension funds, they get bonuses. So they might get a $250,000 a year salary just to be there to run the pension fund. And then they'll get 10% or 20% bonuses based on returns on that money. So if the pension fund, and you look at a 10% bonus, on a $200 billion pension fund that made, let's say, $2 billion this year or last year, 10% of that is how much?
A lot of money.
$200 million, my friend.
More fingers and toes than I got.
So that isn't that a nice lake house and a brand new Porsche?
You know? That's a lot of money going into people's pockets that never should have going into their pockets. But the membership, like you said, aren't aware of this, correct? Most unions.
Most of the union membership are unaware. We came up with a letter asking for union financials as per Section 110 of the Labor Code, 110.1 of the Labor Code. You can ask for certified my brain. I just had a Biden moment.
Uh-oh. Don't send it over here.
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. but the union financials, and they have to come to the membership or to the member free, and they have to be certified by the president of the union and by the treasurer of the union. And I suggested to people that they send this in and they ask for that, because why in the world, if you're paying union dues and this is supposed to be your union, right, that's supposed to protect you from the employer's overreach, why are the unions now agreeing with the employer's overreach? Is it could be that they're invested in the companies that are supplying all this stuff to the union members? Mm. Is there nefarious goings on here? Of course there are. Money talks and the rest takes a walk.
Well, and this is why you have the head of the BC Nurses Union stepping down 2 weeks ago. They know what's coming. They know what's going on. And at this point, I think we're going to start to see whistleblowers being cool again. And, well, it's already happening. People have had enough, and they know that exposing the corruption above them is their only way out the door. So we're seeing people that are recording their meetings and delivering the actual evidence. And these officials, I won't even say elected officials, but these bean counters, these administrators are so inhuman already. They're not hiding. They don't care to hide any of the of what is going on. Your Vancouver, I don't know if you've seen this yet, Barry, but your Vancouver chief medical officer has literally been caught in a Zoom recording stating that, no, this has nothing to do with health. This is about creating vaccine take-up incentives. This is all this is about. All these mandates are about is vaccine incentives. Why? Because the unions are so heavily invested in exactly that. They're making profit off of the injections, and this is why every official that is a member of any of these unions or in control of any of these unions is pushing this agenda. It's all about profit, and they're locked into contracts, and they are going to see gallows if they're busted. So they are completely committed.
And now they want to come after our children, Wayne. That's pretty sad.
Now they're coming after the 5 to 12-year-olds.
Yep. Well, unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, whether it's for profit or if there's something.
Why aren't the people profit? Fighting for the kids like they do for their wages?
Yeah.
They'll fight
no
for
kidding.
Their
where are the parents, man? Where are the parents, Wayne? Where are the parents? I mean, how could parents stand back and watch this go on without asking some very, very serious questions and getting complete informed consent about what is actually going on with these jabs? Like I said there in the first hour, Wayne, and I've said this before, that there's a lot of people dying up here in the north that aren't being reported. This is being reported on mainstream media up here. Why is that? And it's almost criminal to that point now, because I'm hearing about it all the time.
Well, you know what? Ethics over fear, we created some notices of liability. How many do we have up there now? 14 different iterations, Wayne? And we've got a lot of responses back from the school boards, from corporations, from AHS, et cetera, and they all say they're all very similar in what they say. Well, you know, this isn't against the Constitution. This isn't against the human rights declarations. Blah 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 blah. But the one thing that they always overlook within that notice of liability is criminal law. And we have it in there, and it's expressed very nicely. It's called informed consent. Right. Five Supreme Court rulings on informed consent. It's criminal what they're doing, and they're breaking criminal law. But they seem to gloss right over that, like, oh, gosh almighty, we better not mention that, because that's exactly what they're doing. And right. The five Supreme Court rulings have said, here in Canada, that you have to be informed in order to give free and voluntary consent. And yet Pfizer and Moderna say, well, we don't know what the long-term adverse effects are. And by the way, our patents are still pending, so we're not going to release all of the information of what's in these vaccines so that we don't get in trouble down the road with somebody stealing our proprietary information. So, oh, well, then how can I make an informed decision to give you my consent to be jabbed with these so-called vaccines? You cannot. Now, that's boilerplate law here in Canada. If you can, and if you're coerced into doing it under duress by putting your job at risk, oh, if you don't take the jab or take these unproven testings, I mean, the FDA and CDC came out about a month ago now saying that, oops, we made a mistake. For the last 18 months, you've only been testing for influenza A and influenza B, not COVID-19.
Right.
So that's our PCR tests, okay?
Yeah.
So how can I make an informed decision? And then if you put me under – or try to coerce me or put my job at risk under duress, that's considered under Criminal Code 265, 1 and 3, an assault.
And all these forms are now available on Ethics Over Fear?
Yes, we have them up there for download. Well, free PDFs.
I promoted that site the last time I had Wayne on, and I'm going to say it to folks again. Go over there and have a look at what these gentlemen are doing, because they have some serious answers to some serious problems. Go ahead, Wayne.
It's time people are going to have to realize that there is no way to get out of this mess without a price to be paid. And unfortunately, the state of our economy has left most of the employed are only employed because they work for unions, because unions are corrupt. And at this point, they're going to have to decide, unfortunately, I wish it were any other way, but they're going to have to decide whether that job that they're working for, so they can have that pension from that union, is worth the conscience that they're going to have to carry, knowing that that pension is being created off of the profit of genocide and murder and death and abuse and trauma of their entire nation. So there's no way that this is going to get swept under the carpet ever again. And people, it's over. Once the light is shone, the darkness cannot cover it again. Too many people know it's only a matter of time. The evil ones have nothing left reasonable to offer. All they're going to have is more abuse, more tyranny, more murder, more death. And if Canadians want to truly have a future, they want their children to be able to survive what these guys have planned for them, we're going to have to make some hard decisions. But there's some beautiful stuff happening, and it's not as nearly as doom and gloom as it might appear right now. I do believe completely that this is the darkness before the dawn, because what we are seeing and what is keeping me overwhelmingly busy now is the parallel communities and systems and organizations that are coming up, walk-in clinics that are going to be popping up like triage tents in a war all across the country, doctors and nurses, because I mean, there's a whole lot of talented staff out there right now with not a lot better to do except rebuild a new medical system. So this kind of stuff is happening faster than people can blink. So that's the good side of it, is there's nobody better on earth that's better at adapting and overcoming than Canadians, and they're just done with it. They're not having anything to do with it anymore. They're just going on and fixing shit and building it the right way.
I saw an open letter from RCMP members to Brandy Luckey today on the internet, and I was reading that. I don't know how much meat that actually has, how many members are involved, but apparently it's quite a large group of them that now have come together across the country. Is that correct? Have you looked at that, Wayne?
I've read it. cautiously optimistic. I wish people had the courage to wear their faces to their convictions. I understand they're in sensitive positions, but at this point, I'm cautiously optimistic. I hope it's real, but we are playing, we are in an information battle where deception is the game. And that could be one individual. It could be a thousand individuals. And I'm cautious in putting too much faith into thin, thin threads.
I'm not saying there's more
to it than that. But I mean, we've seen this before. I could build that site and write that letter. Let's see some people owning their convictions. Then I'll feel better about it.
I agree.
Negative, but
No, you're absolutely correct. There's a lot of bullcrap going on out there, Wayne, and we got to weed through it. It came across to me this morning.
And like you say, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be practical and realistic. You know, I kind of tend to believe things when I see them these days. And it's great. Somebody's saying some words that need to be said, but now let's see something more.
Well, if anything, Wayne, anybody reads that open letter, boy, it sure crosses the T's and dots the I's exactly what's going on in this country right now. So if anything, it might raise a little bit of awareness to what's going on, even if there isn't anything to it. It was a pretty good letter. I read the whole thing from start to finish, and it really kind of said it all. Go ahead, Doug. What do you think?
I think when those RCMP officers are called onto a site where somebody is being threatened with their job, and they review the evidence that threats were made under duress, that they arrest those employers and drag them out and put them in the back of a police car. Now I will know that the police are on our side. Mm. Until that happens, it's a nice letter, but hey, step out from behind the curtain and take credit.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we are making progress. I know that you're involved with a lot of people in a lot of different directions here, Wayne, right now. You want to talk about a few of the things that you're doing that you can't talk about?
Well, there is an awful lot going on right now, and a lot of it is people are not doing stuff on social media anymore. The work is happening outside in boots on the ground, people meeting face to face. They're just refusing to acknowledge these ridiculous mandates, and it's just straight up hard work. That's what I'm seeing across the board: doctors, nurses, professionals, lawyers, resistance teams. There's more people in a background Zoom meeting than there is in a live stream these days. So this is really encouraging. And so this is what I want to tell people to do is to get off of the Facebook dependency and get involved in a community. There's a lot going on, and we got to stop this deer in the headlight behavior. All we got to do is take a step, do something more than nothing, and you'll find a direction. And the communities, like I say, that are popping up, get connected with organizations like the Canadian Frontline Nurses. There's a new one starting up called Ezra Wellness. They're the ones that are going to be starting up the new walk-in clinics with a focus on getting back to holistic healthcare, real healthcare, medicine, alternative medicines, all of those things, getting out of the pharma crunch, getting away from that kind of stuff. These people are looking at bringing in new pharmaceutical systems, pharmacies, this kind of stuff. This work is well underway. And so get involved with some of these groups that are getting things done. And this is where people will find not just their a new community, but they'll find cause and purpose that's actually what they believe in in their core ideology.
Right. A lot of people are looking for answers right now, Wayne, and what you're talking about sure is in the right direction, in my opinion.
Well, it's really simple, and I'm going to credit this one to Doug because he's so good at taking information and making it a tool, and this is where he's even helped me in this regard. And we've all heard the old analogy that information or knowledge is power. And thanks to Doug, we've corrected that. Knowledge without application is inert. It's useless.
Right.
We need to apply. Applied knowledge is power. And this is where we are seeing such a huge shift. Doug can maybe share an experience or a moment or two out of what we experienced in this road trip. We did a whirlwind road trip. trip through southern Manitoba. And if anybody's watching the news, southern Manitoba is lighting up as far as the resistance like they've never seen before out there. And people are wondering why, what's going on in southern Manitoba. Well, we didn't just give them knowledge. We showed them how to apply that knowledge. And instead of just saying no, now they know how to say no, and they know how to counter the arguments, and they know what to do next. And all of a sudden, the bullies aren't feeling so tough in Manitoba anymore. Hey, Doug?
That's very true.
Yeah, he's all right. You're all right, Doug. Go ahead.
No, that is very true. They're now the bullies are now whimpering little simps because we taught them the law. That's what we taught them. We didn't, you know, most of these notices of liability talk about, you know, Nuremberg Code or this or that or this other thing. But we made the decision that we're going to stick to the law here in Canada and show people how it's there for us, the people. And in doing so, we empower the people. They look at that and they go, wait a minute, these guys are doing this illegally and unlawfully? Holy crud, we better not let this happen. And now they stand on the side of the law against this tyrannical government or these tyrannical unions or these tyrannical school boards or what have you. And they're saying, hell no, properly, with the law on their side.
Hmm.
And it's wonderful to watch.
It is. It's critical information for people to absorb right now, Doug, because like I said, a lot of people are feeling absolutely frustrated right now at watching the government roll over top of us and destroy everything that we cherish in this country. And people are getting peed right off and they're looking for answers. And we're talking about it today, aren't we?
Well, the answers have always been there. It's just a matter of researching, digging them out, and putting them into a format that people understand. And I think that Wayne and myself and the team that helped us put these together did a really fantastic job. Really fantastic job.
What's going on with the doctors right now, Wayne? I know that you've been working with a lot of them. What's going on with their groups right now?
You know, the doctors they've become so overwhelmed, literally overwhelmed from the media pushback, the abuse that they're so busy defending themselves that they've barely got a chance to speak right now. And rather than speak, they're doing stuff. And then that circles me back to these organizations like the Canadian COVID Care Alliance and the Ezra Wellness Group and these other organizations that are starting to pop up, right? So they've kind of removed themselves from the sandbox of idiocy. In a lot of cases, they're doing what they do best, and that's to use their science and their skill sets to make a difference. Right. And so they're really owning their responsibility in this. And this is one of the things to elaborate a little bit on what Doug was saying there is this empowerment comes from such simple things that people were so beat up that they weren't hearing. It wasn't getting to them, understanding that the difference in simple things, a mandate is not a law. It's they cannot force you to comply to a mandate. Once you've accepted that mandate and entered that agreement, well, then you're kind of bound to it. But if you don't accept it, it's not a law. They cannot force you to do this. So understanding that the government at a federal level has put out this giant bluff that they cannot sustain and kicked a can down to the provinces and then kicked it down to the municipalities and then the corporations, this is all going to backfire on them so, so hard. Because at the end of the day, all of the people that adopted these mandates as policies are going to get hung out to dry. And this, don't like to toot our own horn, but this was a scoop that we broke and now is turning into mainstream news. Exactly what happened in New South Wales. Most people know that their premier there is under investigation for corruption and had to step down. But what they didn't see on the news is the very next day, I believe it was, they introduced new legislation in New South Wales stating that any company that adopted these mandates were going to be held liable for any and all adverse reactions and liabilities incurred due to measures that they induced. So already the government in there has thrown them under the bus, and that exactly. is what they're trying to do to Canadians. They have weaponized the working class in Canada, knowing that they're going to set up the companies for us to take them out. And we are saying, no, 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 no. Our companies do not need to comply to this. You cannot force us to be Nazis under mandates. And we're going to say no. And we want to keep our businesses. We want to keep our jobs. We want to help our employers understand that this is the law and you can't make us be the criminals. That's in a nutshell what's happening in southern Manitoba. So when people understand that this is top-down policy and bottom-up implementation, and if they really want to stop this, all they've got to do is stand on the law in their municipality and remind their local officials what the law is and that their time is almost up.
Going to make a good movie someday, isn't it? I mean, we can't make this stuff up, but no. it will be. I mean, I think you'll be starring as one of the roles in that movie, Wayne. And Doug, you'll be right in there with him.
Yeah, well, you're going to find me on a nice, quiet, sandy beach in a hammock and palm trees and cold beer and beautiful bikini-clad women. That's Robbie.
Yeah.
You're getting a little bit of that, Doug,
will be a voiceover.
No, I'll be fine. Life's the beach, you know.
Well,
no, when this is over, they'll be hard. I'll be hard to find. They might get me for a voiceover, but that's it.
Well, I honestly believe that people are going to be hung for this in the future. I'm going to maintain that belief, because when this does get exposed and eventually people find out just how badly they've been scammed, there's going to be a big cry go across this country. And I think we're getting close to that point. I really do. I'm seeing that in general conversation.
It's already exposed. It's already exposed.
Well, I'm seeing it in general conversations now, Wayne, where, you know, a couple of years ago, people that were just completely like, you're a conspiracy nut type of guy. I don't want to have any kind of conversations with you. Now they're engaging in conversation. So I am seeing a shift. Even in the local level here, I'm starting to see a shift. So it's a good thing. Go ahead.
Absolutely, it's a good thing. People need to wake up.
It's not conspiracy anymore, and it's not theory. It's spoiler alerts. Pay attention.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you open your eyes, you'll see what's going on. You can't. There's no excuse for not being aware of what's going on in our country right now. There's just no excuse for it. They're not hiding anything anymore. They've made their agenda quite clear to us. And people that refuse to see that, I don't know what to say to them at this point. I really don't. Those the guys running around jogging with a mask on.
Yeah, Barry, there's some people that we can save, but we can't save everybody. Those that drank the Kool-Aid, which we're at Jonestown right now. People voluntarily drank the Kool-Aid and watched. And those other people that were watching them die said, we're not going to drink the Kool-Aid. And they stopped drinking the Kool-Aid. Well, we're at that point in Jonestown where the people came and the other ones came and held those people down and poured that Kool-Aid down their throats. Mm-hmm. This is what the government is doing now. It's pouring the Kool-Aid down our throats. It's making they don't care anymore about law. They don't care anymore that they're breaking human rights treaties. They just don't care. It's not about health. It's about depopulation.
Yeah,
and that's
agree.
Exactly what it's about. And the only way that they could get that through is to force these jabs on everybody.
Yep. Never seen anything pushed so hard in history, have we? Than what they're doing right now. And all you hear from the Canadian government is it's safe and effective, safe and effective. Be a good citizen. Get your jab. It's pretty pathetic.
I'll send you a video. Sorry, go ahead, Doug.
I was going to say they may as well set up suicide booths on every corner in every town.
Well, that's how bad this thing is, but most people still aren't getting it. A lot of people are. I won't say most people, a lot of people are starting to get it now, but we really need to wake up the masses, man. Exactly what's going on. You're right, Doug. There's some people that are never going to be able to, doesn't matter what you say to them, they're never going to be woken up. They'll continue to be inside the bubble, and they'll stay that way until the day they die. They just will not accept the fact that the government could actually be working against them. But we are seeing, like I said, a shift in society now where people are really starting to get it. So this is the time, to, I guess, to put our foot to the floor. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, I said a long time ago, and I've used this analogy quite often, why jabs? Because gas chambers were too messy. And they are so fully committed to this that you have people like your Vancouver health officials, Patricia Daly specifically. I'll send you a video of her where she's now, I'm not sure if you know who Patricia Daly is. She is the vice president of public health and chief medical health officer for Vancouver Coastal Health. She's also a clinical professor, so she's a teacher. And so she is the one that is literally saying that there is no health reasons for these vaccination passports, that they are strictly a measure to induce more vaccinations. Now, this vaccination is an unproven medical experiment. So it has absolutely nothing to do with health and everything to do with political reliability. That's what this is all about. And when you have health officials that are blatantly saying and educating that that ideology, you can't reason with that. There's only one way to handle that, and that's in a deep, dark cell, because I can't endorse violence.
Now, I don't endorse violence, but I'd say go up those stairs. You see that nice loop up there? Stick your head in it. We'll be done with you in a second.
Yeah.
No violence there, just straight and simple. they're coercing people to put their arm out for a jab. We'll just coerce them a little nicer. We'll be more polite and have them stick their head in that loop. It's nice and easy.
Trust me, same thing. We're not going to pull it. We will not pull it tight. We promise.
What? No. That doesn't happen that way. Whoops, that lever. Gosh, you hit that with your elbow. Oh, lucky there.
Don't smack that horse on the butt, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You got to laugh about this. You know, if it wasn't so sad, we wouldn't be able to laugh about it, but it is sad where we're at right now. But so I'm glad having you guys on today, because you kind of really bring a little bit of light to the end of the tunnel. And there is lots of light at the end of the tunnel right now. I see it coming.
Here's the other thing, Barry. We can't save people. We can give them information. Only the people can save themselves. That's it. I mean, we could teach them the law. We could teach them about the human rights. We could teach them, you know, about the vaccines and about the testing. But if they're not willing to save themselves, there's nothing we can do for them. Mm-hmm. They have to stand up. You know, at the end of the day, if you're not willing to get off the couch and come out the door and stand up and say no, then you're going to get what you deserve. Who was that guy said? You know, you always get the government you deserve.
I'll let Wayne add to that in a second, but my thought on that is that there is no excuse right now for a normal person to be able to go on the internet and look at some contrary information about these jabs. You know, we're supposed to be intelligent people. We're supposed to be able to decipher through this and look at alternative information and make a decision for ourselves. I still don't see that in a lot of society, but I do see a change coming. You're right. There's people that we're never going to be able to save. I've given up on some people. Doesn't matter how much information you put in front of them. They're not going to go look at it. They're going to go home at night and watch CBC. They're going to drink that and go to bed. But there is a shift coming, and we're going to work on those people because they're the ones that are listening. Go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, ignorance is a choice these days. I mean, you don't even have to go to Google. You can go to the Pfizer website or the Moderna website or the AstraZeneca website, and they say right there on their own website, Moderna says, well, this is acting like an operating system. But does it give you immunity? No. It only helps with symptoms. Well, then it's not a vaccine. Okay. Pfizer says, well, we don't know. And it's right on their web. We don't know what the long-term adverse effects are. We don't even know what the medium-term adverse effects are. So does it give us immunity, Pfizer? Well, no, but it will help with your symptoms. So it's not a vaccine. Well, it's experimental gene therapy, you know?
And trust us.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, that's the amount of work that you need to do. That's the amount of research you need to do. Go to the Pfizer website. Go to the Moderna website. Go to the AstraZeneca website. Don't go to Facebook. Don't go to Twitter. Don't go to Instagram. Don't get your information off alt news websites. Go to their websites. It'll tell you there. You don't need alt news websites for that stuff. They're not lying.
Well, all people have to do is go look at the VAERS site and look at the numbers, and then look at the numbers for infectious diseases in Canada over the last 10 years. Compare them with the numbers that we've seen in the last year in Canada here, and you'll come up with the same conclusion that anybody does that, is that the numbers aren't any different. The only thing different is how media has rammed this down our necks.
Yeah, down our throats. Also, Barry, we've got to remember that common sense isn't very common today.
It doesn't seem like it's gone. It's disappeared. I agree.
Success isn't measured by knowledge or ability or skill set anymore. It's measured by political reliability.
True.
That's true.
Right? Well, so it doesn't matter what this. You know. It's who you know. Right? I mean, as evidenced when the Teamsters union gets busted in a video saying, we know this is illegal, but the boss is Trudeau's buddy, so we're going to do it anyway. When you've got officials that are governing health boards saying it's not about health, it's really to create an incentive to get higher vaccination. it's all about political reliability. And if you're not politically reliable, they already know this because they haven't seen you rush out and get your jab. So they know you're not in their database. So you already have a reservation on a guest list in a concentration camp somewhere deep in the bush. So you.
Well, I hope they send us to the same camp, Wayne. Because I'd like to hang out with you guys for a bit.
I'm going to have a special suite if they get me there, I'm sure.
You know, we laugh about that, and that sounds crazy. But you know what, folks? It's not that those kind of things happen when a society is being taken over by very, very evil people. And that's what's going on right now in Canada.
This is where people are making a fatal, fatal wager. They are betting that they can hold out a little bit longer, that they can pretend that they can slide through life, that they can coast through this and hang out a little bit longer. But as I just said, if you haven't already got it, you are now a target.
Correct.
You cannot hide. You cannot remain anonymous and unjabbed. They are coming for you because they know you haven't been jabbed. So they are coming for you.
Well, come on, boys. Knock on my door. I got a surprise for you.
Got some mushrooms? Oh, good.
Yeah, I got some mushrooms for him. Here, eat these Amanitas, and I'll talk to you in about 3 hours from now.
Yeah, about 6 days from now.
Maybe we can have an intellectual conversation. God, man. What happened to our world, man? It was like 2 weeks to flatten the curve to where we are now. In how long? 20 months?
Yeah, but it was never 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
I know that, Doug. I know that. That's what
I
they
know,
told
I, me. I know you know that. I'm just saying. Back. I'm just saying for your audience that just tuned in.
Well, they had this vaccine in the works years ago, folks. Years ago. And this whole thing is about getting that vaccine to as many people as they possibly can before the cat's out of the bag. But the cat is coming out of the bag, and a lot of people are doing what I'm doing. Everybody I talk to say, hey, we're not going to get it. And that's a good percentage of the people I talk to now are fully aware of what's going on with this, and they're not going to take it. So we'll see how much pushback the government gets here in the next little while, but they're not going to stop. You're absolutely correct. They're coming after it.
The one problem, and I know that this is what the government is hoping for, is that there's going to be some sort of a crazy event that either they'll do as a false flag or we're going to get a libtard, woke, social justice warrior, you know, going to a freedom rally and opening up on them.
Yeah, that's all they need, isn't it?
Well, they said that, you know, Robert or John F. Kennedy was known to have said, if you can't have a peaceful revolution, you will certainly have a bloody one.
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that point in Canada, Doug, that I hope that what you're doing and what Wayne's doing with all these other groups in Canada now that are pushing back real hard, that we can defeat this legally. That if we go to armed confrontation against the government, I've said this many times on my shows over the years, that I don't think we have a chance. I honestly believe that that's what they're pushing us for right now, is armed confrontation. They have some toys put away that we don't know about, and when the time comes, they'll bring them out. So if that's true, then we're in trouble. I know. I want to hear your opinion on that.
I agree and I disagree with you on that, Barry. I believe that the last thing that any working soldier or cop wants is a revolution. And when we spoke to some officers face to face and speaking about all of this, they were so stunned, so surprised that there has been absolutely zero, zero, zero violence anywhere in Canada, and they have been expecting this for a very long time because they have been being taught and trained that we are dangerous, 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 and they are so proud of Canadians that we have not given them what they want, the excuse to hammer on us. So I really want people to get that into them and understand that they are afraid of us. They may have more bells and whistles, but they don't have enough. They do not have enough of the population under control, and they do not have a big enough military force or one that is willing to take this to a civil war in Canada. They don't have that. So this is a giant bluff, and all we've got to do is continue to do what we're doing, stand up and peacefully say no. We're pushing them to the point of no control. And this one by one, the rats are fleeing the ship. It's going to be death by a thousand cuts for this corruption. We're not going to give them their blaze of glory where they can blame it on us and call us terrorists because we started shooting up Canada. No, no, no. We're not going to give them that because the people of Canada are better than that. They are better than this corrupt rogue service corporation that is trying to stuff this Kool-Aid down our throats. And I think as I've said so often before, you know, Canadians like to wait till there's a minute left in the third and they're down by three. Well, I think we're at the 30-second mark, and I think we've gotten one or two back. We're still down by a couple, but the game ain't over, boys.
Just put me in net.
You got her, buddy.
Oh, they ain't getting a puck by me in my dreams. What do you think, Doug?
No, I think I have to agree with Wayne on this one completely. Canadians are slow to get angry, but boy, when they do, look out. The Germans, and my father, like I said, fought in the Second World War. My stepfather fought in the Second World War. And the Germans always seemed to give up when the Canadians were coming over the hills.
We were the most fierce fighters in the war.
Yeah, they did not want to fight us. So, you know, I tell people I'm the nicest guy you'll ever meet until I'm not. And that we could probably say for the Canadians, they're the nicest people you ever meet until they're not.
Well, right now they're coming after our kids, Doug, and that's got me to the point where, you know, I don't know what at this point really what I want to say about that whole situation outside of the fact that when they come after our children and they start killing our kids, I hope the Canadians stand up and put a stop to this because this is insanity, giving children 5 years old this toxic jab, and that being talked about, even being talked about in our country right now, is insane. I hope that's the trigger that'll wake most people up right now, because it's absolute insanity what they're doing.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you woke up you went to bed on February 28th, 2020, and you woke up on March the 1st, 2020, and the world flipped.
It did.
You went from the same world to an insane.
They've got a new level of power over us that's going to really be – when they take a right away from us, it's really hard to get that back. They're not going to give it back. They've got a new level of power over society that they've never experienced before. They're drunk with power.
Yes.
But now they're starting to see some serious pushback. And it's we have to push back with everything that we got right now, because like I said, they're not going to stop. They're just going to continue these vaccine passports. Right now it's sporting events and restaurants. Soon it'll be grocery stores. After that, it'll be banks. Soon if they're allowed to go forward, we won't be able to function in society. So we got to stop that soon. Go ahead.
I agree, but I'm going to let Wayne.
I think it's unfortunate that human nature is for people to not learn the lesson until they pray the price they pay is high enough. And people are not going to believe that they're killing kids until they're killing kids. And as long as they're covering up that they're killing kids, people aren't going to believe that they're killing kids. So we've got to keep talking and doing exactly what we're doing and showing and not getting into, like I said, the debates that go nowhere, but start talking about more about the harder conversations that they are killing kids and they're trying to kill kids. And this is the only way that we're going to wake people up to the fact, because if we go quietly into the night on this, they're going to carry on killing kids. So it's up to us as individuals and to educate those that don't know what they don't know. And we can't save everybody. And if there is somebody that is read in or accomplice to this that is pro or an advocate of this, I'm not going to waste my time debating with them. I am going to add them to the list of suspects, and at some point they are going to be exposed for what they are, a willing accomplice or a profiting accomplice to this genocide and murder that is taking place in Canada. Right. This is where my discussions are at these days. I don't get involved in the micro stuff anymore. I have no interest in that, because that is not where justice and remedy is at. And I am so much more focused and excited about what is coming, what I see, the new reality of what building forward together looks like. That's where my energy is at, and we're not going to get there until we get through the justice phase. So let's work on that. That's where my efforts and our community and our team is working towards educating people. Everything is a part in the process. We're just laying down the sidewalk blocks for the people to follow, and they're helping build the path towards it in ever increasing numbers. I used to keep up to my own emails by myself up until about September 1st, long weekend. Now there's four or five people trying to keep up to emails, and we still can't do it. So this is the building forward together that we're working on with everything we got.
Well, I commend you for what you're doing, Wayne. Doug?
So before we go here, Barry, I'd like to read a little something to your wonderful listening audience. It's a little bit of history. It comes from July the 4th, 1776. So when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and not nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare that the causes which impel them to separation, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
Never was a truer word said. Thanks for joining me today, gentlemen. Wayne, last word from you, where people can find you.
EthicsOverFear.com and the WhatsUpCanada.org website is just about to get an overhaul, and I want to close with this. These are the times to try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered, yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. Mr. Thomas Paine.
Well said. Well, gentlemen, it's an honor to call you guys my friends, and look forward to chatting to you guys in the near future again, and hopefully you'll accommodate me, and we'll have you back in here in a little while and continue this conversation. Thanks for joining me today. It's been a pleasure.
It's been fun, Barry. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys. Okay, well, I'll be back in about 3 minutes with Ron Tyler from Emergency Managers Associates. We're going to talk about some of the crazy stuff going on around the world as far as volcanoes and all that other neat stuff. Back in about 3 or 4 minutes. Welcome back, third hour, folks, and thanks to Wayne and Doug for coming in. Always enjoy talking with those gentlemen. I'm joined this third hour by Ron Tyler, Emergency Management Associates. I think I've had him on a couple times now, and he's got some pretty cool information to share with us today. Ron really stays on top of well, geological and volcanic events going around the planet, earthquakes, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks for joining the show here, Ron. I always like to start the show off with my pet peeve of the week and your pet peeve of the weekend. What is it this week? Let's hear it and welcome back. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, my friend. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight. My biggest pet peeve, honestly, I'm going to be very honest with you. My biggest pet peeve is what the public is doing. What I shouldn't say the public, what is the, what should I say, what social media is doing, literally, telling people that there's going to be a huge volcanic explosion and within minutes or very shortly, they're saying imminently, there's going to be a huge tsunami that's going to kill millions of people on the east coast of the United States. Now, I have done a lot of research. Even before Cumbre Vieja volcano erupted on September 19th, this last month, I've been watching it. I've been preparing for a pretty good-sized eruption. What we did not get was an eruption from the main summit of the Cumbre Vieja volcano on La Palma Island, Canary Islands. We got an eruption about two-thirds down the southwestern flank of the volcano. Right. Yet we have a bunch of idiot YouTube and Rumble and social media from everywhere saying, oh, we're going to have this huge eruption. It's going to, Cumbre Vieja volcano is going to split off. There's going to be a huge landfall into the Atlantic Ocean. It's going to cause a tsunami of 100 to 150 feet. It's going to go across the Atlantic and completely submerge the east coast of Canada, the United States, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, going down into the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean and down to Africa and east coast of South America and up into Europe. Yes, it is going to happen at some point.
Right.
But I am tired of the media portraying this volcano as going to slide off into the Atlantic Ocean right now. We have people that are putting videos on the air that are scaring the daylights out of people. Now, this volcano was first diagnosed, if I want to use that word, of having a possible landslide into the ocean back in 1940, some 60 years ago. Actually, 80 years ago, excuse me, because it was 60 years as of 2000. So it's been 80 years ago that this scientist said that this volcano may slide into the ocean if there was an eruption at the main summit of the volcano. That's not what's happening. Although it could happen. It could happen tomorrow, or it could happen 120,000 years from now. It's going to happen at some point. There's scientific evidence of landslides happening on almost every one of the islands around the world, including Hawaii, the big island of Hawaii. But we have all these idiots that are saying, oh, the sky's falling, meteors are falling, asteroids are falling, the whole world's going to be destroyed, and then this volcano is going to destroy everything else. That's not what's happening. I got off the phone earlier this afternoon with a lady in Florida that's scared out of her mind by what she's seen. And I said, you know something? It could happen tomorrow. It could happen 120,000 years from now. But right now it's not. And I'm tired of people that are portraying something that is probably not going to happen in our own lifetimes, yours and mine, and quite a few others that watch this program. Yes, it could, but it's not.
Well, it's also,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's just like saying, you know, we're going to see Yellowstone erupt tomorrow. You know, we hear people fear mongering that all the time, Ron. And sure, you know, it's giving us indications that things are changing there. But nobody's going to tell me that it's going to erupt tomorrow. As far as La Palma, I've been looking at that for quite a few years too, and we know that there is a separation between the two lands up at the top of the, there's a ridge gone along the top, and that ridge is opening and it's getting wider every year. One day, like you said, in the future, there probably will be a major landslide event, but nobody can say when that's going to happen. Of course, people are playing up on that right now. I see the videos on YouTube, and of course, they're getting lots of hits. So it's just glamorizing something that's a vague possibility in my world. Yeah,
that's exactly it. They're glamorizing it. And so many people are scared literally out of their little minds. And I feel for them. I really feel for them because it's not going to happen anytime soon, number one. Number two, when it does happen, yes, we'll worry about it. Okay? We'll worry about it as we see the event happen. It's just like you were just talking about Yellowstone. We've been watching Yellowstone. I personally have been watching Yellowstone since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I was interested in geology way back when. I used to go fishing at Fisherman's Bridge in Yellowstone when I was a young boy. Island Park, just southwest of Yellowstone, I was also in fishing on the North Fork of the, I think it was the Henry's River over there in Island Park. I believe that's what it is, the North Fork of the Henry's River. But anyway, Island Park is a caldera right next to Yellowstone. There's three calderas in Yellowstone. So I've been watching this. I grew up with it. I've been playing with it. I've hiked some mountain ridges over in Yellowstone. Up in northern Montana, there's a volcano that was unnamed, and I stuck my name on it, and all of a sudden, about 6 or 8 weeks ago, I saw my name on it. I put my name on it on Google Earth. I just put my name on it. There was an unnamed volcano, so I put my name on it, and guess what? It stuck. Somebody saw my name on it, and all of a sudden, it's there. It's now a named volcano.
Well, so, I think if we're worried about anything right now, our concerns should be more on the West Coast and what's going on right now with volcanic and earthquake activity on the West Coast, especially the one potential for a bad day would be the Cascadia. And I think that would be more of a concern right now than what's going to happen at La Palma. La Palma is it's a possibility, and I agree, but there's no indication that it's going to have a major separation. And I read the same report that you did about the volcanic activity that the island is built on volcanic, so it can slide. Whether it's going to do it now or not, nobody can say, but I read the same report that said it had to be out of the vent that would cause this landslide to possibly happen. Yeah. And it's, like you said, coming out of the side of La Palma. So I'm not going to worry about it. I mean, if we're going to worry about that, man, there's so many things right now on our planet right now, Ron, that could cause a really bad day. And it's just not La Palma. We're talking about all kinds of fault lines right now, a lot of them that are overdue for major movement, any one of which moved would give us a very bad day. And like I said, the Cascadia would be the one that I would be more concerned about than anything. That's very, very close. And boy, the effects of that would be if it ever did let go. You know, it the last time I believe it happened was 17. I'm going by memory right now. The reports I read on it was 1798, I think, was the last time there was major movement on the Cascadia. But back then, Ron, we said this on a lot of shows, and this is what really kind of concerns me as far as these events. They're going to happen, but we have put all kinds of nuclear power plants now on the west coast of North America, and what effect they're going to have when one of these major movements happens. We're kind of like playing Russian roulette right now. We're saying, hey, you know, we built these power plants here, and now Mother Nature, and you can't do what you've been doing for thousands of years, but she's going to. And when it does happen, you're going to see a major tsunami hit the West Coast. And that would be a very, very bad day for the whole world, Ron, not just North America, for the whole world. So, you know, what are we going to, we can't worry about it. So, you know, we know these things are going to happen. We have no control over that situation, but it's good to be aware of it. That's for sure. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. I just on my show, I just put up a map of the Cascadia region, and today, along the Cascadia region, in what they call the Blanco Fracture Zone. The Blanco Fracture Zone is an earthquake fault in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Oregon, and it runs from just about 100 miles west of the Cascadia Subduction Zone, which is also a north-south earthquake fault that runs the entire coast of the United States and goes up into British Columbia off the coast of Vancouver Island and almost over in, just south of Queen Charlotte Island there in Canada.
Right.
And the Blanco Fracture Zone is a fracture zone that runs southeast to northwest, and that runs for about 150 miles off the coast in that direction. And today there was a 3.9 magnitude quake there. And no, it did not do any damage. And yes, there were some people, there were felt reports over in Oregon. And I'm going, you're kidding. So the more I investigated this 3.9 earthquake, I realized, now wait a minute. This 3.9 earthquake was a lot stronger. It was a lot stronger. If it was a 3.9 earthquake on the Blanco Fracture Zone was felt inland in Oregon, it was a lot stronger than a 3.9. A 3.9 might have been felt over on land, but 200 miles off the coast, not a chance. So this was a lot larger.
Yeah, I agree. A 3.9 wouldn't be felt 200 miles away.
No. And then to top all that off, Barry, we had what they called a 3.4 magnitude quake over in Los Angeles, just north of Anaheim, northwest of Anaheim, on the Inglewood Fault. They said that was a 3.4. I beg their pardon. That had 2,000 felt reports. And it was wide-ranging felt reports 100 miles away, 200 miles away. It was more like a 5.5 magnitude quake.
And yet, so why would they be under-reporting these quakes, Ron?
Because USGS doesn't want to admit that there's anything wrong, that there's anything going to happen. They don't want to admit 50 years from now, they don't want to have a seismologist that says, oh, there was a 5.5 in Los Angeles on October 24th, 2021. What happened? Why was it not investigated more? So they put it out as a 3.4. They don't want to panic anybody. Heaven forbid they want to panic anybody. They don't want to tell anybody what is going on. The fact of the matter is, with the Cascadia subduction zone going underneath the Pacific Ocean and the Juan de Fuca Fault going underneath the North American continent like it is, subducting, that subduction goes down into California. What right. they don't want anybody to realize is that the California is also subducting over the top of the Pacific Ocean. That is one of the reasons we have those earthquakes. The earthquake in Los Angeles today had nothing to do with the San Andreas Fault. It was on the Inglewood Fault. Now, what is happening is the Pacific plate is subducting underneath the California North American plate. And it's causing earthquakes. It's causing uplifted earthquakes. It's causing earthquakes on the Inglewood Fault as well as all the other faults around Los Angeles. And there's probably 3 or 4 dozen earthquake faults. Incidental earthquake faults that could cause a 7.0 earthquake in Los Angeles, in L.A.
Now, that would be a bad day, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's going to happen.
My God.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's just when.
Yeah. If you or anybody else saw the movie The Great Los Angeles Earthquake that was released in 1989 with the cast of hundreds, wonderful, wonderful people from literally all over the United States and Canada that starred in that movie. Great names, great names. The Baldwin brothers were there, a bunch of names. But the fact of the matter is, they put that movie together and they did it so realistically that if you look at what happened and you look at what happened in the 90s with the Northridge earthquake and other earthquakes that happened in the 90s there, you realize, my gosh, this could happen in L.A. It could happen anywhere in that area, and it's going to.
Well, the San Francisco earthquake of 1912, Ron, if that same event happened in San Francisco today, you'd be looking at a lot of people dying, a lot. Don't want to put a number on it, but I read a couple reports on it. The same event happened today, you'd be somewhere in around possibly 1 million people dead. And that 1989 movie, The Great L.A. Earthquake, I've watched that a couple times. And the sequence they did for the actual earthquake is very, very realistic, Ron.
Yeah,
it is. It shows you how much destruction could be done in a city of that size if it had a direct hit from a major earthquake, just like what happened in Haiti in Port-au-Prince when it got struck with a major earthquake close to a major city. We saw the destruction. Well, the same thing can happen, and it will happen one day to these cities. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
We know that it's going to happen someday.
Yeah, it's going to. It absolutely is. We've seen earthquakes all over California. Well, up and down the entire west coast of the U.S. and Canada. We've seen
the whole Ring of Fire right now is on fire, Ron. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
They're going off. They're going off. I know. Look what's going on in the Philippines and down in Indonesia and all through the whole Ring of Fire right now. I've been looking at charts the last couple of days on it, and we're just seeing an incredible increase in earthquake activity. Is that correct? I mean, over the last couple of years, you've been studying earthquakes. I don't know how many years you've actually been doing it, but would I be safe to saying that we're seeing a major upkick right now in activity worldwide?
Worldwide, absolutely. I think we are seeing a major uptick in tectonic and volcanic activity literally around the world, probably twice what we had been seeing even 20 years ago.
Hmm.
And I think maybe even 10 years ago. It's gone up. 10 years ago.
I wanted your opinion on that because I've looked at the numbers and I'd come up with the same conclusion. Go ahead.
Yeah, 10 years ago, we were not told about a lot of things that were happening. 10 years ago, the internet was not as forceful as it is today. It's a huge force on humanity. Everybody literally around the world has access to the internet. Yes, there are areas of the world that do not, but thanks to Elon Musk and his satellite program that he put up there, those satellites are making it easier for the entire world to have internet access.
Right.
Places that didn't have it now do, and there's going to be more and more of it coming. But internet was not as forceful, not active as it is today. Now right. We have access to all sorts of data that we didn't have access to. Right. And what we didn't have access to, people are doing more and more research like you and I are on a daily basis and putting this out so we can help people. You know,
well, that's what I wanted to get you in today, Ron, because you know, you do a lot more research into this than I do. I'm kind of tied up with lots of other issues that we're dealing with, but it's good to get you in because you follow this every day. You know, one of the things that I've talked about over the years, Ron, is nuclear insanity, and that's one thing that I think about this all the time. Is that about 6 or 7 years ago, I sat down on my buddy's computer, and he had a printer and he had transparent paper. And what we did is we punched up a search engine asking for all the known active fault lines on the planet Earth today. And it brings up a map of the Earth, and it shows you every known fault line that they know about at this point, all the spiders all over the planet. And then we did another search, and this is one that just really knocked me off my chair, and I asked myself, where is the insanity of this? Or the sanity is that I punched up another search asking for every known and active nuclear power plant on the planet Earth today. And up comes a map of the planet, and it dots every nuclear power plant that's in operation right now on the planet Earth. You lay the two on top of each other, Ron, and when we did that, I fell off my chair. I literally fell off my chair because they're all, seems like they built them all on top of major fault lines. Where is the sanity of that, my friend? You know that one of these days, these fault lines are all going to become active. They're going to start shaking these nuclear power plants to the core, and we're going to see meltdowns all over the planet. And that's what I see coming. And how else do we avoid that? If we're building nuclear power plants on top of fault lines that we know one day are going to move again, then what are we doing, man? This is insanity. This is suicide. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Barry, you and I have seen it. And you pulled up that same thing I pulled up about 3 weeks ago. I pulled that same thing up. It's amazing. You even mentioned it.
They're built right on top of the lines, Ron. I mean, come on, guys. Couldn't you move it over 50 miles or something? It's like, exactly. What?
let's look. You mentioned that. Let's look primarily right now. Let's talk about the Diablo nuclear power plant. Now it's decommissioned, by the way. Right. But it's built right on top, literally, right on top of the frickin' fault line. Now, there was a movie, someone just asked us what the movie was that we're talking about in Los Angeles. It's called The Great Los Angeles Earthquake.
Yeah.
The movie that I'm going to talk about now is called China Syndrome. And guess who was in that? Jane Fonda. And a cast of thousands. Okay. Now, China Syndrome was filmed on location and at various other sites, but it was primarily filmed over at the Diablo nuclear power plant, which sits right on top of the fault. Right on top of it. They were worried then about that meltdown, that plant melting down in the event the nuclear reactor leaked. And all of a sudden, it didn't have enough water in the coolant tanks, and it would melt down to hell down in the middle of the earth.
Right.
And it caused earthquakes. In that movie, that the plant going crazy caused earthquakes and shaking. You guys can go watch China Syndrome. It's here on YouTube. You can watch it. It's there. I've watched it dozens of times. I have the movie. That's how crazy I am. I've got all these disaster movies on DVD. I can watch them anytime. If I need to pull information about something specific that has to do with what we're talking about, I can pull up date and times in the movie and put them in here so you can see what's happening. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to show you specific incidents, events that could happen. I'll pull it up. I have no problem helping everybody understand what is happening. But the nuclear power plant at Diablo is right on top of the frickin' fault. And to boot, yes, it could melt down. Given a set of circumstances, it could melt down. Now, we know what it is. We know what the nuclear power plant is. Yes, it's decommissioned, but what do we have there still? The buildings. And guess what? It might be decommissioned, but it's still highly radioactive. Why do you think they have a team on site? Emergency managers on site at Diablo and even down in the nuclear power plant just north of San Diego City. Well, not San Diego City, the north end of San Diego County, the San Onofre Power Plant, who's also decommissioned. But why do you think that they have emergency management personnel there? Because they know that the plant is still radioactive, and there's not a darn thing that they can do about it.
Yeah, it's a gift that keeps on giving, isn't it, Ron?
Yeah. I mean,
just look at Chernobyl. Look at what they're dealing with over there right now. Everybody think that's a foregone conclusion. You'll never hear from Chernobyl anymore, but we're about to hear lots from Chernobyl. Same thing with Fukushima. We're never going to hear the end of that. People think it's gone away, but it's not. The media is doing a great job in covering up what's actually going on at Fukushima right now. It's hard to get information out. But I'll tell you, there's another example of a gift that's just going to keep on giving. If they don't have a solution to the problems over there, that's just one series of GE Mark I generators, I believe. They're the worst concept ever of a nuclear power plant ever designed. Yeah. And that was a series of five of them that went south there. We have three of those operating on the west coast of North America right now, the same design of generator, one of the most barbaric designs ever conceived for a nuclear power plant. We talk about the San Madre, Ron. There's another one that we should talk about. In 1812, it was. It created three earthquakes in a three-month or four-month period that were all over 8 magnitude, 8.2, 8.4, and an 8.1, I believe it was, in a three-month period. If that same event happened today in the Mississippi Valley, you would see devastation that you couldn't make a movie about it, Ron. That's the potential we have right now because of our short-sightedness. We cannot defy nature. We're defying nature right now. How long's nuclear power been around now? About 60, 70 years, really, since the proliferation of nuclear power. And, of course, it was brought to the public under the concept of free, clean energy, problems solved. We never have to worry about power again as long as we live. But that wasn't the reason it was created. It was created to produce weapons-grade plutonium for the military-industrial complex. And now we look at all the problems that are coming forward with these nuclear power plants. We're seeing scrams every day. You can go on a site, Ron. There's a site. I forget the name of the site, but I was looking at it the other day. And every day you're seeing scrams being reported in all these nuclear power plants around the United States. The cooling systems are getting old. They're starting to become dilapidated. They're having all kinds of problems that aren't being reported to the public. Nuclear power, to me, is going to be our downfall, Ron. It is. But we could still solve it if we unified and got rid of it, because we need to, because it will kill us all eventually. I believe that. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. It could. I'm sorry, I don't like to bring politics into anything. I hate politics. Those of you that know me personally, you know that I literally hate politics. But quite frankly, what is going on? Right now I'm putting up a picture of the San Onofre Nuclear Power Plant up on our show so everybody can see what it looks like over at just off the north coast of San Diego County. Two major reactors down there. Everything's deactivated, but the plant is still nuclear. It's got radiation still in the facility, and they can't deny it. There's nothing they can do about it. But like Barry's saying, there's plants that are, what shall I say, they're already melted down. Honestly. You know, what are we trying to hide? What are we trying to hide? They're not talking like Barry was talking about. Over at Fukushima, the plant is still activated. They have waste that they're trying to contain, wastewater they're trying to contain, and they've already leaked it into the Western Pacific. So it's poisoning plant life and animals down there. Fish are dying all over the place. And now we're starting to see fish kill on the western shores or the eastern shores of North America, on the west coast of North America, because of Fukushima. We're seeing radioactivity up and down the coast, all the way into Canada from Fukushima. Mm-hmm. Who are we trying to fool? Oh, it's not happening. It's not happening. No, it's not. No, it's not. Yes, it is. They're just not talking about it. They don't want people to know about it.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. We're going to see the real ripple down effect here more so going in the next couple of years in the Pacific Ocean. We know that we've lost a lot of the plankton in the ocean. We know that salmon on the west coast of North America, one of the studies I just read was right from fisheries in British Columbia. And one of the things they talked about that's really, really important people understand what's going on in the ocean right now, the depletion of food fish for species like the salmon, where as in a normal year, Ron, salmon returning to the Skeena watershed or the Nass River watershed up here in northern British Columbia have anywhere between 15 and 18% of body fat when they return to the river. And that body fat, of course, sustains them while they get to their breeding grounds. But what fisheries told us last year was that the average body fat of the returning species, the coho and sockeye, and they talked about Chinook, was 3 to 5% body fat. Mm-hmm. So what it means is now the fish aren't going to have the energy and enough body fat stored up to make it to their breeding grounds. And if that happens, then you see a complete breakdown of that run. They had a big article about this, and I'm saying, why aren't people paying attention to this? That sure, this year there was still salmon in our rivers, but I believe those days are going to come to an end. And when they do, There won't be anything we can do about it, but we really got to take care of the ocean, man. It's what supplies life to the whole planet. If we lose the ocean, we lose it all. It doesn't matter where you are. You're going to die eventually. Go ahead.
It's exactly it. And it's everywhere. As Barry pointed out, I wish I had my map right in front of me and I'd show it to you guys. We have nuclear power plants literally around the world. And if it's not on an ocean, it's on a river or a major lake that also supplies water to the power plant and is also supplying water to the areas around it. And I'm talking major cities. And it also has outlets to other rivers and streams leading to the ocean, i.e. the Great Lakes of North America and Southern Canada, the Great Lakes. We have power plants out there. And folks, some of that water is radioactive as well. And it's killed fish there and other wildlife. It's insane. What are we doing about it? Nothing, because it's being covered up. It really is. Martha Goodrich, thank you for that $20 Super Chat donation. We appreciate it. God bless you with that. We appreciate that, Martha. But well, yeah.
The saddest thing about this whole conversation, Ron, is I believe right now we have the technology that we can completely eliminate nuclear power as a source of energy on the planet.
Yeah.
That people, well, one example of that is the hydrogen cell, Ron. And the U.S. Navy just came out and made a statement that by the year 2028 to 2030, that their ships will all be powered by the hydrogen cell.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you read that report or not, but let's just think about that for a second. They're talking about powering all their naval vessels off of water.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can, I mean, if people knew, Ron, that we could put water in our gas tanks and run our vehicles just as efficiently, more efficiently than running them with petrol, you don't think the human race would want to embrace that? You don't think that would be one of the biggest problem-solving issues that we have, that petroleum rules the world, petroleum is destroying our planet, and we don't need it, that we could run our vehicles off water, that the hydrogen cell is a reality, that they're keeping that information back from the public? Boy, I'd like to drive my car around town with a little sign on it saying my car is running on water. How many people would be pulling you over the side of the road? That is a real possibility, and we can do that right now. As a civilized society, we could embrace that. But, of course, they're not going to allow us to have that. They're going to keep it away from us as long as they possibly can.
I don't know whether you know about it or not, but back in the late 80s, there were a bunch of students at Brigham Young University in the engineering department that put together an engine that could run on hydrogen, on right. water. And who?
They drove it across the country.
Yeah, they drove it across the country. Guess what? GM and the United States government bought the rights from these guys at Brigham Young University and quashed it.
Of course.
They put their thumbs on it and their feet on it and quashed it. Heaven forbid that we are allowed that opportunity to run on water. And yet our gas prices here where I live jumped up 50 cents since I moved here 6 months ago. Wow. 50-cent gas price hike since I moved here 6 months ago. And
that's per gallon.
That's per gallon. That's per gallon.
In Canada here, we've seen a jump of about approximately in the last, I'll say, since January of this year, I believe the price was $1.09 per liter.
Yeah.
Now, there's 4.5 liters per gallon. The price now in Canada is $1.50 per liter. So we've gone up about just over $2.40 a gallon in price of gas since the start of this year, Ron.
Isn't that something?
So stick that in your pipe and smoke it, folks.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And you know what it is in Canada? It's a carbon tax, man. I mean, our government is just ramming this down our throats. They're stealing thousands and thousands of dollars out of your pocket every year to protect us against carbon. When I went to school, Ron, wasn't carbon a good thing? Wasn't carbon kind of like one of the building blocks? Like plants need carbon, isn't that?
Yeah.
Did I go to the wrong school growing up? I mean, where has that, what's gone? I mean, that's knowledge. That's what we were taught in school, that plants take in carbon and they produce oxygen, and that carbon's a good thing for plants, that it's not a bad thing, yet it's been made an enemy now in society. Boy, they sure have flipped that over, haven't they?
Oh yeah.
People better look at basic science.
Yeah.
But the carbon tax, man, what a scam that is. You guys aren't dealing with it down there, but we're dealing with it up here.
Well, they're trying to ram that down our throats right now. I don't know how much you've been paying attention to U.S. politics, but the Communist Democrat Party here in the United States, and it's taken over by people like Senator Nancy Pelosi and Senator AOL, okay, or AOC, excuse me. I'm sorry, AOL.com. Sorry, it's AOC. And she's a congresswoman, I should say, Congresswoman AOC from New York. They're trying to ram this Green Deal, this new Green Deal, down the throats of the United States citizenry. They're trying to take us completely off of fuel. What did Biden and his administration do day one? They closed down the oil pipelines from Alaska. Okay?
Yeah, they shut down Keystone XL the first day in office.
Exactly. They closed it down. They've closed other plants down all over the United States. They've closed drilling platforms that were offshore. They've closed them down. So now again, what has happened in the last 5 years? Mr. Trump, President Trump, took the United States off the cabal coming out of the Middle East. The huge oil generating people that have had control of the United States over the Middle East. They took control away from them, and for the first time in our history, we were self-sufficient when it came to producing our oil and natural gas. Right. Now, what has happened during the past 6 months? Not even 6 months. It's been more like 10 months now. What has happened since Biden took over? They're ramming this Green New Deal down our throats. They have made us oil dependent on other nations. Our gas prices have skyrocketed. Our oil or our natural gas prices are skyrocketing. And if you think you're going to get through this winter without noticing what is going to happen to your gas prices that you pay for, natural gas for your heating and your water, it's going to skyrocket. It's going to double or triple in price over this coming season.
Yep.
Mark my words.
I saw reports saying 54% increase this winter. Expect that, folks. Well, you know what that's going to do to the middle class. I mean, people, they're just barely struggling right now to get through. This is just absolutely going to decimate them, Ron. It's insanity. I mean, we deal with the same thing in Canada. You know, we're importing oil from Saudi Arabia, and we're landlocking the most ethical oil in the world in Alberta. We have enough oil in Alberta to supply the whole country, and yet we're buying oil from Saudi Arabia. Why is that? Well, that's a big question, really big question. But we know what's going on behind the scenes. Go ahead.
It's insane. And when I just heard that this past week. Okay, I just got that news about Alberta this past week. I was furious. You should have seen me bounding up and down the stairs of my house. I was furious. I'm going, what the heck? It's happening in Canada. It's happening in the United States. It's happening all over. People are going to die. Literally, people are going to die because what they're doing here.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it is. But everything they do is insane, Ron. You know that. Nothing they do makes any kind of common sense, but it's not supposed to make sense. It's all a mandate, of course, and they're just running at this a million miles an hour right now. Like I said, Alberta's got enough oil to supply. The numbers I read, the province of Alberta has enough oil to supply Canada with all its oil needs for the next 100 years, right in the ground in Alberta.
And did yet you we're guys importing hear that? 100 years
of oil in Alberta right now. That's the tar sands. I mean, they developed the top of the tar sands, but there's such a massive amount of oil in reserves in the tar sands. People hear that's dirty oil and it's unethical, but actually, when oil is produced out of the tar sands, it's ethical standards are the highest in the world. Yeah. Yet we're importing oil from Saudi Arabia with no ethical standards on their oil. We're spending billions and billions of dollars every year on offshore oil, and that money could be going back into the Canadian economy. Of course, none of that makes sense, but it's not designed to make sense. It's designed to destroy the middle class, and that's where they're going.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They don't care. They don't give a darn. They don't give a darn who they hurt.
Well, they're evil people, Ron. We know that. We're dealing with people that, in my opinion, they come from the pits of hell. Because that's really, I don't know how else to describe people that would be wanting to inject an experimental vaccine that we know it's not a vaccine, an experimental gene modification into children 5 to 12 years of age is what they're trying to do in Canada right now. And yet all we hear now on the internet, and if you go looking for it, is all the adverse effects we see coming from this around the world. And yet now they want to go after our children. These people are evil, Ron. There's no other way to describe them. There's no rationale to what they're trying to do to our children outside of killing them. Go ahead.
It's we've seen this gradual takeover all our lives. You're almost the same age as I am, maybe younger.
No, well, I'm 67. I'm 67, Ron.
I'll be 66 in another 2 weeks.
Well, I'm older than you are then.
Yeah, you're
But we both grew up in the same kind of generation. We both knew what life was in the 50s and early 60s, what life was like in North America, what the family unit was in North America back then. And it was still basically strong. Now that's been completely destroyed in our society.
Yeah. And it's not ever coming back. What we used to know, what most of us here in the United States used to know 50, 60 years ago, is no more. It will never come back. It's over. That life is gone. There's a lot of things that have been happening, and it started with Khrushchev back in the 1950s, late 50s. Khrushchev was invited over to the United States by then President Eisenhower. And President Eisenhower asked then Secretary of Agriculture Ezra Taft Benson to show Gorbachev around. Or not Gorbachev, I'm sorry, Khrushchev. It was Prime Minister Khrushchev. I'm sorry, Mr. Gorbachev, I didn't mean to denigrate you. Khrushchev came over here, and Secretary Benson was asked to show him around the United States to show him American agriculture. Ezra Taft Benson didn't want to. He told President Eisenhower he really didn't want to do that. He didn't want to associate with the communists. But Eisenhower said, no, you have to do it. Well, during his tour of the United States, Khrushchev told Secretary Benson, we are going to change you here in the United States. We're going to feed you spoonful by spoonful of communism. And by the time we get through doing that, you're not going to recognize yourself. It's going to change your world. And your world is going to become communistic with us. And what has happened? That's exactly what has been going on. All of us have been filled or been spoon-fed with communism, spoonful by spoonful. Here, taste this. Isn't this luscious? Isn't this good?
Yeah, and lots of free stuff. Don't have to worry about anything. Stay home. Yeah. Don't have to work. That's what they're doing in Canada, man, with the CERB programs. Now they just introduced massive new CERB programs in Ontario. Yeah. What a way to take people out of a job, man, and take and away their dignity and their pride.
That's
it's all part of the program.
Here in the U.S. too.
It's all part of the program, Ron. It is.
Yeah. It really is. Oh, and, you know, this week they've been really pushing, you can go to college for free. You don't no longer have to pay for college. It's going to be free for everybody. No,
there's no such thing as free stuff, guys.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pay for it somewhere.
Yeah. You know, we see ships offshore. We see ships stranded offshore, full container ships stranded offshore, because they can't even make their deliveries because there's nobody on shore that's waiting to take the stuff off the ships. There are 20 huge cranes in Los Angeles Harbor, and there's at least that many over in Long Beach Harbor as well. Only 10 of them are active. Why? Because all of a sudden, we don't need them. The Biden administration says, oh, you don't have to go to work. We're going to pay you to stay home and pay you to not do anything. And so it's not just the crane operators in L.A. And Long Beach. It's not just people in Canada that are unemployed because the government wants that to happen so they have control. Everybody through almost every part of life is being told, no, stay home. You don't have to do anything. And what is going to happen? And you're going to see it within the next few weeks. You're going to see this happen in the next few weeks. You're going to see the government saying, if you don't do this, and I'm not going to mention the words, what they want us to do, because I'll get kicked off YouTube again. But if you don't do this, you can no longer go shopping for food. If you don't do this, you're not going to be able to do anything. You watch it. You mark my words. That's exactly what's going to happen. I absolutely
agree with you 100%, Ron, that, of course, we're talking about in Canada, the vaccine passports now are a reality. That, you know, they came out with these passports, and of course, they're going to restrict us from going from a few restaurants and a few sporting goods and sporting events I can't go to now because I'm segregated, but they're not going to stop there. They're going to come out in the next couple of weeks, like you said, and say, hey, wait a second, folks, you can't go to a grocery store unless you're double vaxxed, or you can't go into a bank unless you're double vaxxed. That's where they're going with this, and I'll say it like it is. That's where they're going, and they're not going to stop until they have complete control over society. That's the end game, and that's where they're going. Yeah. We got to put a stop to it, man. We do. People have to realize that you cannot segregate society. That is communism 2.0. One book that I have read, and a lot of it I can't remember now, but I read it about 5 years ago as I read the Communist Manifesto. And if you read that book, Ron, it'll cross the T's and dot the I's of everything that's going on in our society right now and how they're bringing in these draconian changes. And people are accepting it, Ron. They're acquiescing to this. This is crazy. People don't, you know, for some reason, people seem to want to go along with this. A lot of society wants to go along with it. You know, the CERB programs here in Canada. I mean, I had guys telling me, well, this is great. The government gives me a check. I get to sit home. I'm getting $2,000 a month from the government. That's more money than I can make going to work. I can sit in my basement and play video games all day long, and the government's giving me a check. Well, they're building a society that's going to be completely dependent on the government. And when they get that level of control over you, you'll basically be forced to do anything they tell you to do.
Yeah.
People don't see it coming, but that's where they're going with this.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't see it, guys, you got blinders on. You have to have blinders on if you don't see it. This is happening. We're telling you it's going to happen. It's in the process now. I'm seeing it. Even where I live, okay, there's a bunch of people that are going to the supermarket, going to Walmarts and various other places, and more I'm seeing more things coming up over people's faces. I'm not going to say that word because, again, they'll take me off YouTube. They're putting things over people's faces. And I'm one of the people that is not going to do it for a lot of reasons. I'm going to be, one, I'm going to be the rebel. Number two, my doctor says you can't do it because you need oxygen, and putting one of those things over your face is going to deny you of oxygen, so you can't do it. That's right. Why I can't do it personally.
Right.
But I'm the rebel, period. I wouldn't do it, period. And I'm not going to do it, ever. The people that are doing it are sheeple. They're being led around by their nose.
Well, I call them poopazins. Because I can't use the word I want to use, but yeah. They're poopazins.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I got to remember that. Poopazins.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. But it's true. It's true.
It is. It really is. It doesn't matter anymore. They're going to force it. And you and I are going to be the people that are going to be led around, pushed around, shoveled around, and one day they're going to knock on our door and there's going to be a small war. And in the beginning, I'm going to win. I may not win the end battle, but I'm going to win at the beginning. And yet, there are going to be people like me that are going to stand up and say, no, you're not going to do it. And we're going to win the beginning of the battle anyway. And when it comes out, what's happened? There's going to be all sorts of crap hitting the fan.
Yep.
The stuff is going to hit the oscillator.
Yep. Well, I agree. If, you know, Ron, I've said it many times here, that if the public really knew what was going on inside the coffers of our governments right now, you would see a major uprising in society. But unfortunately, a lot of people are still in the matrix. They know that there's something wrong. They know that there's a little bit of corruption here, a little bit of corruption there. But that's always been the way in government. But what we're dealing with now is the complete removal of all our freedoms. Yeah. And that can happen. That can happen in a blink of an eye right now. We're one major false flag attack away from the loss of all our freedoms right now as we talk. That's all it would take, Ron. That's all it would take. You give them the mechanism to put the hammer down. Go ahead.
It's there. You know, someone in our chat just said, we do not consent. You're right, we don't. Someone else says World War III is in process. You're right. You're right. We just haven't fired a shot yet.
Well, the enemy's inside the gates, man. He's in there right now. And people don't recognize it. You know, in Canada, we've never had a war in Canada. You've had your civil war in the United States of America, but there's never been a foreign enemy invade your country, come inside your borders and go to war with you. We've never experienced that. We've become soft. Same thing in Canada. We've never had an enemy inside our country, but now the enemy's inside our gates. Yeah. And people still are having a hard time identifying it. They really are.
Yeah. It's there. We're right there. We're 60 seconds away. 60 seconds away from complete control and chaos. You mark our words, guys. We're 60 seconds away. And if people don't see it, you got to be blind.
Well, they brought this so-called pandemic into our society. They got the reaction from people they wanted to see. Everybody just cowered in fear. We know how powerful the fear virus actually is in society, but this thing had no more knockdown power than a common flu. But now what's going to happen, Ron, if they bring something out that actually does have a bit of knockdown power, where it's actually affecting society, boy, I'll tell you, they're just going to have us dancing around in hoops. They'll have complete control over society that people will become so fearful. We've seen how fearful people are of this. Yet I talk to people all the time. I said, do you know anybody that's been affected by the actual COVID? No. Do you know somebody that's been affected by the vax? Yes, we do. And we're hearing that all the time now. The media up here, I said earlier in the show, Ron, there's people dying up here, a lot of people dying from the injections. And it's not being exposed on mainstream media. We must make them accountable to the people.
Yeah.
Germany took over, you know, Hitler took over all the media in Germany. He had complete control of the media by 1935, that all you heard in Germany is what the German government wanted you to hear. In 1937, you had to show your papers to walk down the street in Germany. Well, where are we today, Ron? Show me your papers, old man. We're getting so close to that, it's not even funny. History always repeats itself. It worked before, they're going to use it again. And we're getting close to 1939 Germany right now. Go ahead.
It's exactly right. We're there. We've been losing our rights bit by bit by bit. And if you don't believe it, my gosh, where have you been? Why? Why don't you believe it? Guys, you got to get up off your keisters. You got to get up and say, hell no, we're not going to go. And I'm saying it. You've got to get up and do something about it. You've got to stand up and say no. No.
Well, if we don't stand up now, Ron, what's coming in the future, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
No.
I know it's real. You know it's real. A lot of people listening to the show today know that we're in a big world of hurt, and they're all asking, what can we do? Well, you know what? We have a lot of power. If we stand together and if we stood up to this tomorrow and said no, it would all go away. Because there's a lot more of us than there's of them. But unfortunately, we're not there yet. I think we're going to get there, Ron. I think we're going to get there real soon.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened before now. I'm really
I think a few more things are really going to have to impact people before they really start to take a look at what exactly is going on. And we have to stay positive about this. This is a war that we can't lose, that we're fighting for our freedoms right now. I'm fighting for the future of my children, fighting for the future of your children and our grandchildren. I got to grow up in a great country here. The last 67 years of my life have been good years in Canada. But I look what's coming for my children right now, and that's something I'm going to fight to the death. I know you feel the same way. I know a lot of people listening to the show today feel the same way, that we're going to fight to the death to stop this. We have no choice.
We don't. I'm not willing to give up on what I've been able to accomplish throughout my life. I'm not going to just settle down and let it all be taken away. It's not going to happen. I refuse. Absolutely refuse. Barry refuses. And there are millions of people just like us that are saying, no, it's not going to happen.
That being said, Ron, this hour has gone by us already. It went by very quickly. I knew it was going to. I'd like you to share with people the last minute here that I have you on, where they can find you, where they can follow you. And thanks for joining me today, my friend.
Thank you, Barry. I appreciate you coming on the show with us and me being on your show. This it's more than just a pleasure. It's an opportunity to be together and share our beliefs and help everybody understand and point out where we're headed to. Those people that want to know who I am, my name is Ron Tyler, president of Emergency Management Associates out of North Carolina. We broadcast from Morganton, North Carolina to the entire world on the internet, here on YouTube, Emergency Management Associates. You can find us over on our webpage. If you go to our YouTube channel, in our program description, you're going to find us on our webpage. You're going to find us over on YouTube. You're going to find us on Rumble, Emergency Management Associates on Rumble.com. If you want to support our program, we have two PayPal locations also found on our program description, as well as Venmo. We have our address. You can write us a P.O. Box 422, Valdez, North Carolina. Zip code is 28690. You guys have every opportunity to find us here on Emergency Management Associates. You can also link us back to Barry's show there in Canada. We are more than happy to help anyone, including Barry. Barry's a dear friend of mine now. We've talked now twice on the air. This is the third time, and you're a very dear friend of mine, and I love and appreciate you, Barry.
Well, thanks for the kind words, Ron. Nice to have you in today, and like I said, we'll do it again in the very near future.
You bet, my friend. Have a great day.
You too, bud. Thanks a lot.
See ya. That was Barry Prince from British Columbia, Canada. We're glad to have him on our show here on the Emergency Management Associates Network here at the Area Command. We want to thank everybody who has joined us here on our program today. We appreciate each and every one of you tuning us in. Now, I have noticed that we don't have the people here that have seen our program today. And I understand there's quite a few reasons why. We have 122 people watching, 85 thumbs up. I honestly, 86 now. I thought there'd be quite a few more. And I thought because we had Barry on that the numbers of people watching our program would be greater than they are. And I wish that that had happened. There was a lot of good information that was discussed tonight. We hope that everyone shares this program widely, far and wide. Please share it with your neighbors, your friends, your family, extended family, people you work with, and your social media contacts. Okay? That's important. The things that we talked about are happening. We have to literally save ourselves, and we're trying to help save the world. Now, in closing, nothing above what we've already talked about has happened at La Palma Volcano, Cumbre Vieja Volcano. Nothing more is happening. The same things that have been happening are still happening at Cumbre Vieja. It's still erupting. Lava is still coming out into.
Okay, you can
thanks.
Do it now.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Ron, for coming in. Thanks, guys, for joining me today. And I've enjoyed talking with you as usual. I love being here with you guys, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Got Vinnie Eastwood coming in and Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson next week. Looking forward to those conversations. Bye for now. See you next week. God bless you all, and have a great week.